I must tell you, I was a bit disappointed when I got to the top of the stairs. I figured after 350 plus stairs, at least I'd reach Magia Shemaima or something. I thought Avraham Avinu would be waiting there with open arms. Baruch haba, so glad you came. But Yerushalayim Harim Savivla, Yerushalayim is surrounded by mountains, beautiful mountains of Yerushalayim. And it was worth every single step to come here to speak and to share words of Torah with you this evening. I would like to talk about the redemption of our people and to tell the story of that redemption. There was once a young girl who was with her mother shopping in one of those stores that Eretz Yisrael is just beginning to realize real money maker, a place like a Target or a Walmart that has everything, where you could buy a skirt or a pair of pants and bananas in the same store. And as they were walking towards the checkout counter, as they were getting towards the front, this little girl saw out of the corner of her eye, dangling off of one of the racks, a plastic, but in her eyes, beautiful pearl necklace. And her eyes looked sheepishly up at her mother, and as they locked eyes, her mother already knew what she was about to ask, and she said, "You know, Ima, would it be okay, would you mind if maybe you could buy me the necklace?" And her mother took a look at the necklace and quickly noticed the $1.99 sign on it and saw a deal when it was right in front of her. And she said, "You know, yeah, I'll buy you the necklace, but you have to promise you're going to, you know, do this, X, Y, and Z." And the girl said, "I promise." And she couldn't even wait till they got to the checkout counter. She took the necklace and she put it on right away. And her mother paid for the necklace and they went home. The next few days, this girl did everything in this necklace. She ate in the necklace. She slept in the necklace. She went to school in the necklace. She refused to take the necklace off. And one night as she was getting ready for bed, she got into bed. And her father came into the room to say goodnight. And he turned to his daughter. And he said, "Medela, Medela, sweet little girl, do you love me?" She said, "Abba, of course I love you. What kind of crazy question is that? Of course I love you." So he smiled and said, "Can I have your necklace?" She said, "Abba, remember last year for Hanukkah you bought me that puzzle? It's like over in the corner. You can have that instead of my necklace." So I said, "That's okay." And he gave her a kiss on the head, he said Shema, and they walked out. He came back the next night, the same routine, he walked in, and caught his daughter's eye, and he said, "Medela, Medela, do you love me? My sweet, sweet, precious child, do you love me?" And she said, "Abba, I already told you that I love you. Can I have your necklace?" "Remember last year for my birthday, you got me that teddy bear that, like, when you press the hand, it says, it talks? You can have that." Father said, "That's okay," and he gave her a kiss. He said Shema, and he walked out. By the third night when the father walked in, the little girl just burst into tears, and she screamed, "Abba, I love you," and she ripped off the pearl necklace, and she gave it to her father. And her father took the necklace. He smiled. He put it into his pocket. And then with one gesture at the same time, he took his hand back out of the pocket and he pulled out a real pearl necklace. And he said, "Medela, Medela, I love you." And he put the necklace on her and he gave her a kiss and he walked out. Now, I've said this story many times. And I know the end. And yet, at that moment when the father takes the plastic pearl necklace and smiles and puts it into his pocket, who in this room doesn't hate that father? Is there anybody here who doesn't feel like that is the worst, most horrible parent in the entire universe? And then almost in a split second, as if through magic, we love that father more than anybody in the world. What a beautiful gesture. So we have a little bit of time together, and I would like, with your permission, to try to explain that story. It's hard not to think of that story when you read the Sfas Emes on this week's Parsha. You don't even really need the Sfas Emes if you just read Rashi sensitively, which is what the Sfas Emes is acting as, a pair of glasses helping us to read Rashi carefully. It's hard not to think of that story. In source number one, B'inyan HaKeda Kachna, Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, Kachna es bincha, please take your son. And Rashi says, Ein na ela bakasha. Hashem comes to Avram Avinu and he says, Avram, medula medula, do you love me? Can I have your son? Can I have your only son? Can I have your son who you love, who you waited for tens and tens and tens of years? And Sfas Emes says, Nira ki mi acher shev tichu b'yitzchak ikar lecha zera, since Hashem had already promised Avram, b'yitzchak yikar l'chazer, that Yitzchak is going to be the one who's going to carry on your name, and not only your name, but your job in this world, which is to be a chariot for the divine, to be a pipeline, to sneak Hashem into the world. Nemar lo b'lashon bakasha, so Hashem had to ask him, please, I know I already promised you something, I know I already gave you something, but I want you to give it back to me, and I'm asking you as a favor. Forgive me and please give up the gift that I gave you, that I promised you that through Yitzchak your name would spread throughout the entire world and your message would spread throughout the entire world. Be mochel on that kavod and give me back Yitzchak. And says the Sfas Emes, v'zeh shevach ha-gadol b'nisayon hazeh. This was the spitz. This was the pinnacle of Avraham Avinu's tests. According to all of the Rishonim, with the exception of Rabbeinu Yonah, this is the tenth and final test of Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu, the Shevach HaGadol of Avraham, is that he's willing to be mochel from his own choice, even though he didn't have to, and to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu his son. And the amazing thing about that is that if Avraham Avinu would have not made that choice, and listen carefully to this because this is what we're going to speak about for the next half hour. If Avraham would have not made that choice, if Avraham, the third time when Hashem came and said, Meidele, Meidele, do you love me? And Avraham would have tried to pass off instead of Yitzchak, you know, why don't you take Eliezer or something? Take something else that you're asking for. If he would have tried that, or if he would have given up Yitzchak begrudgingly, it would have been a very different end of the story. The Shem Yishmuel of Shmuel Bornstein, the son of the Avni Nezer, the great Gaon, both of them, grandson of the Kutzker Rebbe, and the Sefer Shem Yishmuel says the most amazing five lines that I've seen on this week's Parsha. So much so that I could say that I would literally start counting my life over from the time that I saw this Shem Yishmuel. It's like I would start over from zero again. The Shem Yishmuel says that the Inyan Yisayon HaKeda in source number 2, Yesh Lomar, She'ikr haya ha'ava v'haratzam shahayu lo la'avram alzeh. The main test was, Avram, are you going to be able to do this v'simcha? Are you going to be able to give me your son with this superhuman quality of simcha, of giving up Bincha Yechidcha Asher Havta? And says the Shem Yishmuel in the bold, Va'al yedei shekibol tzivo Hashem Yisbarach b'simcha al yedei ze lo nishchat Yitzchak. Because Avraham Avinu was willing to be mekabel this tzivoi b'simcha, he did not kill Yitzchak. Sounds like a paradox, but he explains. The imlo kein lo hayu roi lekabel ma'amaro v'nvuaso shel Hashem Yisbarach Sheinis al ta'as lo me'uma. The ina shchina shore el mitoch simcha. See, everybody knows that at the last second, as Avram is holding the knife up to Yitzchak, at the last second, as he was about to make the incision, a malach, Bederach Nevuah screams out to Avram, don't do it! Don't kill Yitzchak! And if Avram Avinu at that time would have been in a state of bitterness, if he would have been in a state of rejection and feeling, how could Hashem do this to me? How many times could you ask me, this is my favorite pearl necklace in the world. I shower in this pearl necklace. I eat in this pearl necklace. How could you ask me to give that up? If Avraham would have been in that state of mind, you know the Gemara says in Nedarim and in other places in Shas, that Nevuah can only be shora on a person mitoch simcha. Meaning the fact that Avraham Avinu was able to give that up and to understand. Unlike the little girl in the story, who's too small to understand. But the tzidkus of Avraham is that he did understand. And that Avraham Avinu was willing to do that besimcha, and in return, he was zocha to receive that second Nevuah, don't do it. But it's not so simple. Not so simple. Because when you begin to look in the Midrashei Chazal, you find a little bit of a different story. In source number 3 from the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, we have a memor from Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kevin shi'igia acherev al tzavaro, once the knife reached the neck of Yitzchak, it's true that Avram didn't kill him, but the pachad, the fear, or maybe the love of Yitzchak at that moment was so profound, was so great, that the Medrash says, Parcha v'yotza nafsho shel Yitzchak. Yitzchak died by the Akedah. And there's a big machlokas in the Svarim HaKadoshim, in the Svarim of the Baal Shem Tov and his students, whether he died and was gone for 3 years, or whether it happened right away. His neshama went out, and it came back in, and that's the end. But Yitzchak died by the Akedah. Can you imagine at that moment when Avraham Avinu thought, all of a sudden he saw Yitzchak pale white, and Yitzchak Avinu was dead, and the story was over. And even this beautiful, profound idea of the Shem Yishmor can't help us now. That moment in the story of the Akedah Yitzchak is the moment that the father puts the pearl necklace back into his pocket. That moment when you can't believe that Hashem could be so cruel to say the words even, Chas v'Shalom. But that feeling that you feel, that Avram must have felt, or that somehow supernaturally Avram Avinu didn't feel, is incredible. And the Medrash describes, Nafsho shel Yitzchak went out, v'kevan she'eshmi'a kolo mi'ben akruvim, when he heard, don't do it, so Yitzchak Avinu's neshama came back in, according to the Medrash. And I want to try to understand, what is the secret? What is the remarkable teaching that the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer is trying to impart to us? And in order to understand that, we need to go back to the birth of Yitzchak. When the Malachim come in the beginning of the Parsha to tell Sarah that she's going to have a child, the Psukim are very clear. In source number 4, Vayomer Levayesar Yishtecha, where is Sarah? We have a message for her. Zohar Hinei Baal, she's in the tent. Vayomer Shuva Shuva Elecha Ke'es, we're going to come back at this time next year. And Sarah is going to have a child. V'inei ben l'sara yishtecha. There will be a son born to Sarah, your wife. Now, our sages never miss a beat. And they're a little bit curious why the pasuk says, a son will be born to Sarah, your wife. Because after all, Yitzchak was born to both Avram and Sarah. And yes, technically, Sarah was the one who delivered Yitzchak. So I'm nervous to say what I'm about to say, but please give me 10 minutes to explain. The Arizal says, and the only reason I know this is because it's quoted in Svarim HaKadoshim. I don't study the Arizal regularly. The Arizal says that Yitzchak, and again, please forgive me, Yitzchak was born to Sarah and not to Avram, because Yitzchak was born with a female neshama. Okay. That went over better than I thought. I thought people would get up and walk out. He was born with a female neshama. He was born to Sarah because he was born from the feminine side. He wasn't born with a male neshama. I'll prove it to you. I mean, I just did. Arizal said it. But I'll prove it to you more. In source number 7 and 8, Rashi HaKadosh, the holy Rashi says, Va'avram zakin ba bayamim. Avram Vinu is now getting old, and he needs to make sure that this little project called Yiddishkeit is going to continue. So, if it's going to continue, so then Yitzchak needs to have a wife. Avram was old, Va'ashem birechas Avram bakol. And Hashem blessed Avram with everything. Now remember before I said that there were certain opinions that Yitzchak kind of disappeared for 3 years? If you want to know more about that, take a look at the story after the Akedah. It's a little bit strange that Avram Avinu comes back to Yishmael and Eliezer, to the two, if it's Eliezer and Yishmael, but whoever it is, he comes back to the two guys who are waiting there by the donkey, and it doesn't say anything about Yitzchak coming back. And that's just the beginning of the story. But comes along Rashi and says, what does it mean that Hashem blessed Avram with everything? It means that Hashem blessed Avram with a son because after all, Bakol, Ola Bigamatria Ben. He blessed Avram with everything. He had a son. I'm sorry, I'm pretty sure Avram had Yitzchak a few years before this, right? And yet what Rashi is alluding to and what Rashi is telling us is that Avram Avinu at this moment when Yitzchak returns, when Yitzchak comes back, Machlokas Rishonim, either from Shamayim, according to the Chizkuni, or according to others, he came back from learning for 3 years in Beis Medrash. But he comes back, and at that moment, according to the Chizkuni, he comes back to this world with the neshama of a boy, of a man. And therefore, at this moment, Avram is blessed with everything. He finally has a son. Because Yitzchak, the one who was born with a female neshama, is now born with a male neshama. That was only 5 minutes. I get another 5. Unless you think I'm just reading it to Rashi. So then I'll show you another Rishon who quotes it explicitly. One of the strange things about the story of the Akedah, you have this tremendous climax. Probably the climax of Sefer Bereishis. And then, without really any progression, it sort of just drops off right away, at least so it seems. The Akedah, the pinnacle of Sefer Bereishis, the final story of Avraham Avinu's final test. And then, the Torah kind of throws us this, like, underhand lob that we don't understand what it's doing there. In source number 5, Vayhi achar dvarim ha'eila v'yigad la'avram le'mor. Hine yolda milka gam hi banim l'nachar achicha. And after the Akedah, by the way, we'll just let you know that after the Akedah, Avram found out that his relatives had some children. And the Torah tells us how he had 8 different children. And in Pasuk Chav Gimel, in source number 5, Ubesuel yalad es Rivka, Besuel gave birth to Rivka. And these 8 children are the ones who were born to Nachar, the brother of Avram. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, what is this doing here? Why is this here? This doesn't make any sense. We just finished the Akedah. And all of a sudden we get a little bit of history about Avram, you know, this extended family. It's a little bit strange. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that it's absolutely clear that Yitzchak Avinu, and we can read inside just a little, in source number 6, Tam Sipor Zeh, the reason for this story, Gam Tam Amru Achre HaDvarim. And also, the fact that Achre HaDvarim kind of means, as a result of the Akedah, the following happened. And we're told this story about Rivka's birth. Ki Ein Lo Kesher, Li Yedias HaOmru Mitzad Ma Shekodem Zeh, We're being told at this moment that Yitzchak's Zivug, Rivka, is born into the world. And you know why that's important? Vatam atav lo kodem, this is being told to us right now. Kvark dimu kihi kihaya misitra denukva. Because we already know, we already learned that Yitzchak Avinu was from the feminine side. His neshama was a feminine neshama. Vlo haya lo duchra ad acher akeda. He didn't have a male neshama until after the akeda. Shnis abribo nefesh hazachar. And after the akeda, Yitzchak Avinu was born keilu, not born again, but he was implanted with this male neshama. Achar dvar me'ela v'yugad la'avram u'besul yodas rifka. That's the main story. Ze ikar hasipur. Very powerful words. Ze ikar hasipur. If you try to tell anybody that the main part of the story of the Akedah was not the part where Avram was holding the knife over Yitzchak and Yitzchak was bound to the Mizbeach, or the part where he finally looks up and he sees the aisle stuck in the bushes. But the main part, Ze ikar hasipur, the main part of the story is at the end when, oh, by the way, you know, there's going to be a few more bar and bat mitzvahs that you're going to have to go to, Avram. It just doesn't sound right. But now we understand something. It's not just that if Avram Avinu wouldn't have done the Akedah besimcha, he would have killed Yitzchak. That is true. But if Avram Avinu wouldn't have done the Akedah at all, so then Yitzchak would have a female neshama, and Rivka would be born with a female neshama. And a female neshama and a female neshama cannot have children, cannot give birth to Yaakov Avinu, which means that there can't be Shivtei Ka, which means that we can't come out of Mitzrayim and we can't receive the Torah at Har Sinai, which means we can't conquer and divide Eretz Yisrael, which means we can't build the Beis HaMikdash. Which means that Mashiach can never come, which means that humanity is doomed forever. Ze ikar hasipur. And with the 60 seconds that I have left before my 10 minutes run out, I think, I'll tell you outside. That the Arizal in source number 9, it's not the Arizal himself writing, it's his student, Rav Chaim Vital. And if you don't believe me, read it for yourself. Rav Chaim Vital said that one time the Arizal came to him and told him why he was unable to have children with his wife. Now, you have to understand, if your Rebbe is the Arizal, you have to be prepared for these types of conversations. He told him that his neshama, that the Arizal told his student, Rav Chaim Vital, your neshama is very connected to the neshama of Rabbi Akiva. And you know, Rabbi Akiva was married to Rachel. Everyone remembers the story. And if you remember a little bit more of the story, you might recall that Rachel had a father named Kalba Savua, who was not so fond of Rabbi Akiva. And the Arizal told Rav Chaim Vital, can you imagine having this conversation? He said, listen, the reason that you can't have children together is that your wife is Kalba Savua. You're Rabbi Akiva, and your wife had to come back as Kalba Savua to take care of you, to make amends of all of that mess that happened back then. And that's why the two of you can't have children, because you're both male neshamas. I don't know what world these people lived in, but it wasn't ours. And why am I telling you this? For one simple reason. Not to weird you out. Not to not get invited again. I'm telling you this because this is the story of our redemption. Not in that exact way. I'm telling you this because Avram Avinu, up until the last second and beyond it, had no idea that what he thought was exactly the opposite of what he wanted to happen. Avram Avinu thought, this is the worst idea ever. Hashem promised me that Yitzchak is going to be the one to carry on the tradition of Avram and Sarah and together with his wife. And now I'm killing him. It's the only shot we have of bringing Hashem down into the world. And Dafka, what we see from what we just learned in the past 25 minutes, is that without Akedas Yitzchak, without Avram Avinu temporarily causing the neshama of Yitzchak to jump out and to be replaced with a male neshama, there would be no Klal Yisrael. There would be no Am Yisrael. And how many times in our own lives do we question the Ribbono Shel Olam? Or do we question our parents? Or our Rebbeim? Or our Moros? Who are trying to guide us in a direction which brings light to the world. And we say, why are you doing this to me? The same Ribbono Shel Olam who told Avram Avinu to take Yitzchak up to Har Moriah is the same Ribbono Shel Olam who nags at us and says, wake up in the morning for Shacharis and stay up late for Maariv. And make sure you bench with Kavanah and put on your right shoe first. And shower like this and eat like this. And if we're honest with ourselves, so then there are moments as we're working on ourselves, and hopefully we'll get there. But there are moments while we're still working on ourselves, and we say, just leave me alone. Abba, take the teddy bear, take the puzzle. Why do you want my pearl necklace? Why do you want to take the one thing? Why do you want to take my individuality away from me? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm not taking away your individuality. I'm giving you something real in exchange for something fake. I'm giving you the most real in exchange for a $1.99 plastic pearl necklace. The Yalkut Shimoni has a story, has a mashal, about a person who was sitting at the Parshas Drachim. It means he was sitting at a crossroads. And Robert Frost, no, I'm just kidding. He's sitting at this crossroads and somebody comes by and he takes a look at the two roads and he sees one of them has thick thorns. And the other one looks kind of easy. And he's not really looking for a tiul right now. He just kind of wants to get to Shalvim for women, right? He doesn't want to go all the way up all the stairs. And so he's just trying to get there. So what's the fastest route? So he looks at this guy, and this guy says, I know this one looks harder, but I promise you, after you take 3 or 4 steps in past the thorns, so easy. There's an escalator the rest of the way up. And I know this one looks really easy, but I promise you, if you go down this, as soon as you turn that bend in the road, forget it. You'll never get there. And that person, or better said, that creator, who's sitting at the Parshas Drachim is the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Hashem is saying, yeah, I know it's easier to press the snooze button. I know it's easier to share that piece of information that you know you really shouldn't be sharing with someone else because someone else told you it before and they said it's a secret. I know it's easier to not think twice before you look at that Hechsher and you say, I don't really recognize this one, but it kind of looks like a K for kosher. I know that that's harder in the beginning, but ultimately after you take 3 or 4 steps into that, your life changes forever and everything becomes smooth sailing. Now that doesn't mean that when a person reaches the age of 29 or 53 or 98, it's not still a struggle. But it's a different kind of struggle after you take those first few steps. And I once heard from my brother, who himself heard in the name of a Jew who lives in America, his name is Rav Yehuda Halbertal. I don't know who he is. I don't think my brother knew who he was. Who wanted to say that this is the pshat in the pasuk. Because the Yalkut Shimoni, and you could take a look on the first line in that Yalkut Shimoni in source number 10, that he was sitting by that path, and one of the paths was Tchilaso Mishor V'Sofo Kotzim. The beginning was smooth sailing, but at the end there were thorns. And the other path was Trilaso Kotzim Vesofo Mishor. In the beginning it was thorny, but after that it was a very straight path. And this of Yehuda Halbertal wanted to say the following idea. See, Rabos Machshavos Belevish, we have a lot of ideas about what's best for us. We think we know that the worst thing we could do is to sacrifice our only son, or whatever that means for us. Whatever that most beloved pearl necklace is for us. We think, we have lots of ideas. Rabos Machshavos Belevish. How am I going to get into a good college? How am I going to get a good shidduch if I don't do X, Y, and Z? How am I going to get in with this crowd if I don't do X, Y, and Z? How am I going to get ahead in life? Rabos Machshavos Belevish. Va'atzas Hashem, but Hashem's advice is takum. Takum is Rosh Tevos. Takum. Trilaso, the beginning is kotzim. Vesofo mishor. If you follow me, if you trust me, if you believe me when I tell you that trilaso kotzim, the beginning is thorns, but vesofo mishor, the end is straight sailing. Then you have a lot better chance at making your dreams come true. The Gemara says in Pesachim, and we're familiar with this Gemara, that Rav Yosef, who was the son of Rav Yeshua ben Levi, got sick and he died. And he went up to Shemayim, and it turns out it was a near-death experience, it wasn't a death experience. And he comes back down from Shemayim, and his father said, another conversation you probably wouldn't have around your dinner table, just like the Arizal and Rav Chaim Vital. He said, what was it like up there? And he said, I saw an Olam Hafuch Ra'isi. I saw a backwards world. I saw the people who were on the bottom in this world were on top, and I saw the people who were on top were on the bottom. And Rav Yeshua ben Levi, said, you didn't see an Olam Hafuch. You saw an Olam Barur. You saw the proper perspective of the world. The world might look a certain way from our perspective. But the truth is, if a person begins to look behind, if you take a peek behind the screens, where Kadosh Baruch Hu is orchestrating everything, so then you'll see, then we'll be zochet to see that every single thing that we think in our lives is going wrong is going so right. The story of the redemption of the Jewish people is the story of a people who keep seemingly getting lower and lower and lower. At least on the surface. It seems like we have more and more problems. There are more and more rallies of people getting together, trying to fix this problem or that problem. But if a person learns to see the world through the eyes of Avram Avinu, through the eyes of this little girl, through the eyes that we're trying to build here tonight, then you begin to see that even though it looks like we're doing everything wrong and everything's going in the wrong direction, as soon as we decide, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes knocking on the door and says, Meidla, Meidla, do you love me? And we say, Hashem, I love you. Please, it's my pleasure to give this to you because I know that in exchange for this, I'm going to get something so much more real. As soon as that happens, then we'll be zocha to see the Olam Hafach turn into an Olam Barur. We'll be zocha to see where the road kind of bends this way and all of a sudden, all the thorns disappear. So when the Or HaChaim told us, Zeh Ikar HaSipur, this is the main part of the story. I think what he's trying to say is that the main teaching, the main lesson of the Akedah, is the lesson that at the moment that you think you're giving everything away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really giving you everything in return. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless us. May He give us the strength to have the vision. To be able to see that everything that Hashem asks of us is only so that He can give us something more precious in return. In that merit, it would be Zocha to see the continuation of the line of Avraham Avinu through Yitzchak, through Yaakov, and the Shiftei Ka. Ultimately, with the birth of Mashiach ben David and the building of the Beis HaMikdash from here, Amen.